Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So many people who are conservatives continuously bash liberals. Liberal this, liberal that, liberal this, liberal that, liberals no good. It's become a phrase. But what is a liberal? Do you know if you're actually a liberal? There's a whole spectrum of liberalism, just as there's a spectrum of conservatism. And frankly, I'm going to ask today, at least the beginning of the show, I don't know if they will, for liberals to call and tell me what a liberal is and why they continue to be liberals. Because I read an article this morning that the leftist era is fading in Latin America. A big article, New York Times, is leftist era fading in Latin America. Colombia, Brazil, over. Colombia, Brazil, over. England, liberalism, over. Kicked out on its butt. Europe kicked out on its butt. The people are rising up. They've had enough of the fascism that has replaced liberalism. So England, Europe, South America, the leftist era is fading. So I'm going to ask liberals who listen to this show, and I know I have many liberals who listen to this show for a number of reasons, to call the show and tell us what a liberal is and why you remain a liberal, especially in an age of Islamic terror. That's what I want to know. We have a fake economy with printed money. How could you keep saying that we need more money for poor people? Where's the money supposed to come from? Do I have to remind you that Margaret Thatcher, great woman, said that socialism is a great system until you run out of other people's money? Great line, but it's true. Where's the money supposed to come from? Obama's very clever. He prints the money. That's all. He just prints money. That's called wild runaway inflation. Liberalism is so out of control in America today because of Barry that even Bill Clinton slammed Obamacare as the craziest thing in the world. I was quite surprised by this. Clinton sounds more conservative. Bill Clinton sounded more conservative than Donald Trump did during the last debate. I swear to God, somebody clipped Trump's wings during the last debate. Somebody told him not to go hard on Hillary. And as a result, she tore him to pieces. I hope that whoever's listening to this show from the Trump campaign tells him to take his gloves off during this debate coming Sunday night or it's over, the election is over. Take the gloves off and go after her on the real issues, not the foolish issues. When I see that Bill Clinton slamming Obamacare as the craziest thing in the world, where he says you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people who are out there busting it sometimes 60 hours a week wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half, and it's the craziest thing in the world. That's Bill Clinton. Why didn't Trump say that on the last debate? Because he was misadvised by a liberal conservative who had entered the inner circle. That's one of the topics I want to talk about. Another one is Snowden. Is he a traitor or a patriot? And the surveillance state that Obama has built. Please don't tell me George Bush started it. We all know that. I know George Bush started it with the Patriot Act, but Obama's been president for almost 8 years now. And according to those who know what's going on, we have a surveillance state that's greater than anything the world has ever seen, outdoing anything, even in Stasi Germany, or the Stasi, secret police of Germany. Sorry, I have three topics now. Now, before we continue with this and other topics on liberal conservative, I've got to take care of something very important. The streaming radio talk show ratings just came out today by TalkStream Live. And their headline is Savage Wins by a Landslide. Of course I'm telling you what they said. I didn't. That's their headline. Savage Wins by a Landslide. Third quarter 2016, Michael Savage, 23.7 share. Number two, Rush Limbaugh, 15.1 share. Laura Ingraham, 8.7 share. Sean Hannity, 5.6 share. Glenn Beck, 3.2 share. Yu Yu at 2.5 share. Alex Jones, 2.0. Michael Gallagher, 1.7. George Nuri, 1.6. And then there's a whole bunch of other people, some good, some bad, some indifferent. Survey period from July to September. The sample size is bigger than ever. 3.3 million listener sessions. Don't underestimate it. A lot of people say, it doesn't mean anything, you know. It does mean something. It's an indicator. Now, on terrestrial radio, where this show is most importantly heard by a landmile, it's terrestrial radio, meaning the radio stations you are listening to. I have, I don't know how many, 250, 280, how many number there are. I started late. Remember, I had to restart my career 3 years ago. Never forget that. There was a huge hiatus in my career. I had to start all over again. How many men could start all over again and come where I am, come back to where I am right now? You know any? I started all over again, and I was not a kid. And right now, the ratings came in last week on my flagship station in New York City on WABC, where this show is heard in drive time. This show is number one on WABC amongst 12-plus and 25-54 by a fairly large margin, by the way. Not a small margin, a large margin. And yes, you have to know that it's number one. It's and I'm the number one talk show host in New York City, June. And of course, again, in the last month, it was later than that. It was in August, I think, number one. And yet I'm restricted in discussing this. Why are winners now forced to hide their success? Can anyone explain that to me? Why are winners now forced to hide their success? You have to hide it? I don't know. You have to hide it. Hush, hush, my darling. Well, I just hit it. I gave you the actual stuff. So I want to talk about liberalism today for a while, not the whole show. I mean, you know that most people who listen to this show consider themselves very hard conservatives, right-wingers, if you want to put it that way. I would like to know why a person remains a left-winger or a liberal in a time like this, when the nation is bankrupt, when there are terror, riots. Let me read the rest. Terror, riots, mobs, and chaos. How can you support your liberalism? As a result of these 8 years, the terror has gone ballistic. One terror attack after another, and he looks the other way. He won't even say radical Islam. And that's a result of what? Is it liberalism, or is it that he's an Islamophile? What is it about Obama? I don't even care anymore. It doesn't matter what it is about him. I want to know from you. Are you a liberal and why? How do you define yourself? That's what I want to know. Okay? Let's take one call right now. Sharon, WABC. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I'm a liberal because I believe it's the courageous thing to do. I believe that health care is a right. It's not something that's only for the affordable.
So let's take it one issue at a time. Health care is a right. Who pays for it?
We all pay for it. All of us.
Well, why is it that even Bill Clinton said it's the craziest thing in the world, health care for all?
Because there is no way we should be taking advantage of the sick and the dying.
But you're not answering me. Bill, wait, ma'am, if you're going to just mumble and repeat yourself, we're not going to get anywhere. You started by saying you're a liberal. Then you said health care is a right. Then I asked you, why is it that Bill Clinton, who's clearly a liberal, said that Obamacare is the craziest thing in the world? He said all of a sudden you've got 25 million more people having health care, and then the people who are out there busting it, sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. This is Bill Clinton, not a right-winger saying it, Sharon.
Exactly. But Bill Clinton knows, just as you know, that it wasn't properly executed because there was so much resistance to the idea of helping those who are in need, who are sick. And
you know what you're repeating? You're repeating the same lie I've heard about communism my whole life. Whenever I would criticize the communist system in the Soviet Union, you know what people would say? It's because America interfered with the Soviet Marxist system. Do you realize you're just repeating the big lie of communism? We'd all love to have free health. We'd all like to have free health care, but who is going to pay for all of it?
Have you ever wondered why helping the poor is a tenet?
You're not answering me again. Who is going to pay for the health care?
We will pay for it. We're the richest.
What do you mean by we? Who is we? Who is we? The 50%. Wait a minute. The 50% of American adults who don't work, they're going to pay for it? The immigrants that Obama's bringing in from El Salvador and Honduras, they're paying for it. The Muslims from Syria, the Somalis are paying for it. Who's paying for the health care, Sharon?
Those of us who do pay taxes will pay for it, as we always have, as we will pay for the subsidies for the countries that we don't have any benefit from that we're giving money to, such as Israel,
Now we go. Now bash the Jews. Okay, in the same breath. It's the Jews who did it, right? The Jews who are ruining the world?
I agree that we have...
Why is it that you liberals have become anti-Semitic? Where did that come from? How is it the liberal has suddenly become a glowing anti-Semite, that the Jews caused all the problems in the world, and Israel's the worst country on the earth?
I don't say that. But if we're going to pay for their security, we can pay.
But you're changing the discussion now. You said everyone should have health care because you're a proud liberal. That's a nice idea. And I asked you who will pay for it. You haven't answered me yet. When even Bill Clinton said it's unsupportable, how can you keep repeating the big lie?
It's not a lie. And
all right, thanks for the call. Next case. See, I knew we were going to get at least a decent discussion. You see, liberals want to feel that they're doing good. Liberals want to walk around with an internal halo over their head. Liberals want to pat themselves on the head when they take a shower in the morning saying, I am a good person. I am not a mean person like those right-wingers. I want to help the poor. I want to give everyone health care. Health care is a right. And they repeat all the homilies that have been fed into them in the last 40 years by the welfare state and the welfare statists in the media and in the government and in academia. But the question always returns to the basic question of who will pay for their liberalism. So before I take the break, I think we have to first play a soundbite from a man who is clearly a liberal, and that would be Mr. Bill Clinton in clip number 10.
So you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people are out there busting it sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. It's the craziest thing in the world. On the other hand, the current system works fine if you're eligible for Medicaid, if you're a lower-income working person, if you're already on Medicare, or if you get enough subsidies on a modest income that you can afford your health care. But the people that are getting killed in this deal are small business people and individuals who make just a little too much to get any of these subsidies.
Well, there's an example. I'm going to tell you something. Bill Clinton makes great sense. He just said the truth. He sounds more intelligent than his wife, because he is. He sounds more rational in what he just said than almost all of the campaign rhetoric that I have heard on both sides of the debate, by the way. Why is it all of a sudden Bill Clinton has had his come to Jesus moment? Well, for one, he's trying to help his wife's campaign by showing he's a moderate. He's trying to say she's more moderate than the crazy, woolly-eyed Marxist liberals like Bernie Sanders. That's clearly what he's doing there. Meanwhile, he made a very good point. So it's okay to believe in something, and then you have to be a pragmatist and pay for that something. Where is the money supposed to come from? That's the opening gambit. That's the opening question on The Savage Nation, the number one streaming show in the United States of America by a land mile, and number one on WABC and many other stations in the United States of America. Are we one bad election away from losing everything? Isn't America becoming like a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos? Is it a result of progressive policies and open borders that have poisoned America? Can this nation recover from Obama's scorched earth policies? Read all about it. Maybe your mind will be opened.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Everyone's miserable. Everyone's like scratching their skin off from this election. They don't know what's coming tomorrow. Bombs are going off, and DHS says we don't know who's doing it or why, but we have them under control, and we know where they are, but they're going to happen again tomorrow. But don't worry, send us another $1 trillion, and we'll make sure the bombs don't stop going off. It's like firemen who used to set fires in town in order to justify the fire department, a lot of people are saying, by the way. Marlon, K-L-I-F, what is a liberal? Go ahead, please.
Hello, sir. I find liberalism to be a mental defect, sir. I'm a black man, and for generations, my family voted liberal, Democrat, or demo-liberal, as I say, by default. And being a military veteran, I started speaking not only, I'm thinking with my own brain, and I realized, you know what? We've been wrong all this time. And it's nice to see so many blacks waking up right now, but it would be nice if many more will open their eyes and see that you're just being enslaved. The Democratic Party went from the party of slavery to the party of enslavement, just like Hillary's American States.
Well, okay. So you are a reformed liberal, Marlon, but that's because you were in the military where you saw what effects liberalism was having on the military. You saw what they were doing to the morale, to the maintenance, to the manhood of the military. Obama's assaults upon the military are debasing the manhood of the military itself. Marlon, let me send you scorched earth so you'll have more information. More ammunition around the Halloween table. There is no Halloween table. So the Republican usually says he's a conservative, but that's not always true. Mitt Romney was not a conservative. What's the basic plank of a conservative? Small government, low taxes, right? We've all heard that. Small government, low taxes. Small government, low taxes. However, you get a variance in both Democrat and Republican. Bush and Reagan, what would you call them? You could call them both social conservatives and military conservatives, right? Bush and Reagan. But they were fiscally liberal. They're both fiscal liberals. But overall, you'd call them a conservative. Then there are liberals in the Republican Party who are generally fiscally conservative, but social liberals. Or they could be anti-war doves and be Republicans. They don't like the Republicans before World War II who didn't want to enter the war and were called isolationists. And you could still be a fiscal conservative. So there are many varieties of each, and I think it's time for us to stop pigeonholing each other. And I'm asking you again, if you are a liberal, how do you define yourself? Also, call with your favorite passage from Scorched Earth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Wasn't it all supposed to liberate us? Wasn't the ethos of drugs, sex, and rock and roll supposed to liberate us? Has it liberated us? Has it liberated us? Well, we read that the leftist era is fading in Latin America, according to the New York Times, and you know they know everything. And they said Colombia rejected a peace deal with Marxist rebels on Sunday, delivering a very public victory to the conservative former president who campaigned passionately against it. On the very same day, voters in Brazil handed a resounding defeat to the leftist party that once controlled their country, knocking it down in municipal elections. This shows a radical shift to the right in Latin America in less than a year. They say in less than a year, voters have thwarted the leftist movement. Even in Argentina, where they elected a former investment banker as president of Peru, while lawmakers have impeached the leftist leader of Brazil. Put simply, conservatives are on the rise in Latin America. The same is in Europe. The same is true in Europe. The Brexit vote, that was a defeat of leftism and liberalism. Wherever you turn in Europe, the people are rising up there at the point of revolution because of liberalism or leftism. So liberalism or leftism is being rejected all over the world, at least in the places I mentioned. I'm asking you who listen to the show, and I know many liberals listen. I know why they listen. It's not so much to mock me, it's to listen to the other side, because informed liberals actually want to hear the other side so they can strengthen their own opinion by saying, well, you know, I'm listening to this guy, he makes sense, but I don't agree with him because. So then they come away as a stronger liberal in their mind. And I've asked them to call and define what a liberal is and also tell me why they continue to be a liberal. And also, I'm hitting the refresh button now. I'm asking you to call with your favorite passage from Scorched Earth. So let's begin with line 8 from New York City. Tom, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I was reading your book on Scorched Earth, and I found it interesting of the woman, your housekeeper from El Salvador, who called Obama a serpent. And it's interesting because that really comes from Genesis 3.
I'll tell you what, do me a favor. Read the one paragraph on page 28. Just read the short paragraph as I wrote it.
I asked my housekeeper, who's from El Salvador, who speaks Spanish and some English, do you think that Obama is a Muslim? She is a devout Christian, a churchgoer, believes in Jesus. She said he is a serpent. She used the words for serpent in Spanish, and I was actually stunned. So maybe he isn't a Muslim or a Maoist. Maybe he's a serpent like the one that slithered through the Garden of Eden.
That's pretty good writing. Who wrote that, Tom?
That was you.
It shows my poetic license, given that I was a poet in the beginning. Thank you for that call, Tom. I'm sending you another copy of Scorch Earth to give to your ex-wife.
I thought...
stay on the line. Now, this election has definitely caused a lot of problems in marriages. More people have ordered single beds as a result of Obama and this election than you could imagine. They moved into separate bedrooms now that the kids have left. One putting up a Make America Great sign and the other one putting up a sign in her bedroom saying, I'm with her. Two-bedroom households now. I'm with her and Make America Great Again. All right, my friends. Let's go to the next couple of callers. Let's see. I don't know how to take it. You know, it's hard. I could just do the callers in awe. Okay, Will on WJR. Go ahead, please, Will. Please make your statement.
Yeah, I just want to say on the ideological spectrum, I lean more so liberal, but I think it's more so if you look at any history, if you look back at the lens of history, you know, liberals have always been on the correct side of any argument when it comes to slavery, women's suffrage, or, you know, women's rights to vote, civil rights.
Let's not overgeneralize. You said liberalism has always been on the right side of historical issues.
Well, excuse me, I wouldn't say all the time. Definitely. There's no absolute.
All right. In some of the cases, that is true. That's why we still have a liberal and a conservative argument to make on almost every issue. Certainly on slavery, certainly on women's issues, certainly on other issues, the more liberal approach has been validated, correct. But when it comes to economic situations, would you say that a liberal economic policy is a better one?
I would say no. Like I said, I believe everything's on a spectrum. There's no absolute. So a completely liberal economic, I think most people are fiscally conservative. I can give you that. I believe most are fiscally conservative, but it's...
I agree with you, but socially... There's an awful lot of Americans who are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. By the way, which is why they like Trump, because he's socially liberal and fiscally conservative. Isn't that true?
There's more to the Trump thing than just breaking it down to liberals and Democrats, and from liberals and conservatives, but I could almost give that to you, yes. That's the idea.
You're a good chess player. I can hear that. You don't move too quickly.
Oh, no. I'm not playing chess. I'm just giving you the straight-up answer, sir.
No, I understand, but you also don't move your pieces too quick.
Oh, I guess you can also say that.
Good. Hey, Will, what do you do for a living?
I'm an engineer for a construction company.
I knew you had some kind of analytical background.
Yeah.
I knew that. I can hear the analytical wheels turning. And, you know, when a person is actually able to analyze, you can hear it in the way they speak. I really appreciate it. It's so beautiful. You know, Will, it's been said that hell is a place where there is no reason. And, man, do I love to be in a place where there is reason. Will, thank you for listening. In Detroit, stay in the line. I'm sending you a copy of my bestseller, Scorched Earth, which you can probably give to one of your friends. I like this topic so far. I read an analysis before the show of 10 differences between liberals and conservatives by John Hawkins on Town Hall. And some of them, I'll go into it, okay? Conservatives believe in pursuing policies because they're pragmatic and because they work. Liberals believe in pursuing policies because they're nice and it makes them feel good. Whether their policies they're advocating actually work or not is of secondary importance to them. That was like the nice lady who called at the beginning of the show, who said that she believes health care is a right. She believes that everyone is entitled to free health care. And when I asked her who will pay for it, she couldn't answer me. She just said it feels good, it feels right. And then I quoted Bill Clinton, who said Obamacare is a crazy system. Now, wait a minute. Bill Clinton is more conservative in that speech against Obamacare, which he calls a crazy system, than Trump was during the first debate. Listen to Bill Clinton in the next cut, clip 11, on how Obamacare doesn't work for insurers.
If you were on the other side of this, if you were an insurer, you'd say, gosh, I only got 2,000 people in this little pool. 80% of the insurance costs every year come from 20% of the people. If I get unlucky in the pool, I'll lose money. So they overcharge you just to make sure, and on good years, they just make a whopping profit out of the people least able to pay it. It doesn't make any sense. The insurance model doesn't work here. It's not like life insurance. It's not like casualty. It's not like predicting flood. It doesn't work.
Oh, I hear where he's going. Okay, so he's not really bashing Obamacare. He's pushing for single payer from the U.S. government. That he wants to push the insurers out of the business and have the government insure everybody. That's what he was doing. Okay. So the first cut was Obamacare's a crazy system that's killing small business. The next cut was the insurers are vicious and they should be put out of business and let us Big Brother take over. Okay, I got it. So he was actually being more liberal than I thought. All right. Well, at least I listened to the whole thing now. Robin, WMAC Radio in Georgia, line 3. Go ahead, please, on the liberal issue.
Yes, liberals are, by definition, meaning liberty, which means freedom and justice for all. Conservative, meaning you want to go back to the same path, meaning for the white race, especially for them to maintain control over everything. So a liberal is basically as one who's going to fight for what's right, even what you said with the health care. Many of the companies, they are sharing the expenses with the employees, so they're not really spending all the money themselves, the companies, nor are the employees spending out that much money. Because
All right. You've given us your point of view. I don't agree with much of what you've just said because it doesn't hold true in the real world. It just makes you feel good to say that, but it actually doesn't hold water. So let's do this. Let's try to take other issues that maybe are a little less muddy. Let's say what Obama's doing in the military. Let's say telling us that the military now has to perform surgery on transgenders and give them the sex that they want to be and take scarce resources that should be going to veterans who are dying in hospital wards and VA hospitals. Would you say that that liberalism that Obama's expressing and saying that if a person feels that they're a woman and they're a man, we should pay for that in the military?
Not necessarily.
I'm asking on different issues. I think that if you break the issues down, instead of going into them with, I'm a liberal, therefore I believe in everything liberals say and do, and then you just dissect the issue itself and say that doesn't make sense, or that does make sense, maybe we as a nation can come together and start to agree on things.
What I'm saying is that everyone should have the opportunity to do whatever they want to do. If a person, if they cross gender, whatever, if they want to serve in the military, they should have the right to do so. Not that
Hold it. Serve in the military. Now, how can someone who's getting a sex surgery serve in the military? They're not serving. They're in rehabilitation for 2 or 3 years or more, and we're paying for it. They're not serving anybody. Who are they serving?
Eventually, they will be able to go out and...
Eventually? When? When the war is over? They'll eventually be able to fight the war against ISIS when the war is over? I disagree with you on that. I think you're trying to apply your cardboard cutout liberalism to fit this particular discussion, when in fact you actually agreed with me in the beginning, and then you thought about it and you said, wait a minute, I don't really want to agree with Savage on anything.
I said Mike Pence when he was in Perry, Georgia a few days ago. I was going to ask him, I know the Democratic Party did not do that much for the blacks, but name one thing that the Republican Party have done for the blacks. Just one. Yeah, I asked you that.
Well, I'm not here to defend. I don't want to make this all about blacks, by the way. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be dragged down that rat hole again. Why must everything be about one demographic, every discussion?
Well, due to the fact that if you go back to history, I know you are a learned person, meaning that you have a doctorate degree, but now you know that from the start as for the Republican Party, when Abraham Lincoln, many of the blacks was under that party during that particular time. Now, when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, they started going to the Democratic Party. And many of the Democrats at that time, when Abraham Lincoln was alive, was of the...
Let's bring it down to the present. LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, he created the Great Society, meaning the huge welfare state. Has that, in your opinion, benefited the black family or harmed it?
It has benefited due to the fact that...
Sir, now you're not telling the truth. I don't think you understand what I just asked you, or you're not expressing it properly. So forgive me if I'm stepping on your words. Do you know what the number of businesses percentage-wise was in the black community before big government stepped in as Big Daddy? It was in the tens of thousands. Do you know what the single mother rate is today as opposed to what it was before Big Daddy stepped in?
Well, that's the case as far as what the white man has done as far as the welfare system. It's wanting to kick the black man out of the house, especially if they are not married and wanted to hold them down as far as trying to get jobs.
Well, you just said something interesting. They said they kicked the black man out of the house. That is because the government stepped in and said, let me take care of you. That was a result of liberalism of LBJ, who did not do it to help the black people. He said, if I increase the welfare state, I will own the black vote for 100 years. And he said it in much more derogatory terms than that. So he didn't do it for the sake of your people. He did it to enslave your people with a huge government that would then take and replace the blackmailers in great trouble in this country today. So, my friend, we can disagree, but at least we're talking. And I'm going to send you scorched earth. We'll send it to you in a plain brown wrapper so that people in your household will not look askance at you. 855-400-7282. Richard on WMAL, line 8. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to let you know this is a first-time caller, and I've never really listened to a radio talk show before, but since I have been listening to you, you have opened my eyes. I've really started noticing a lot more of what you're talking about, and I'll let you know I'm going to be a dedicated listener.
All right.
Really?
Well, I'm going to send you a dedicated book called Scorched Earth, which is the second week on the New York Times list. Believe me, you're not alone in opening your eyes. You know, I want to say something to you. Obama is not a liberal by any definition. You say, well, he's not a liberal at all. He is a Machiavellian manipulator of the highest order. I don't want to go into talking about what I think about him because I've done it for 7.5 years now, and frankly, it's painful that a man could get away with abusing the public trust like this for so long, both liberals and conservatives, and still be considered a savior of the poor. That's the last thing he ever intended to do. It's all about pushing his own agenda, which is the universal worldwide agenda, which is not good for the poor in America, and it's certainly not good for black people. And I'll just complete this little sentence, paragraph with another sentence. If you're bringing in unskilled labor from Central America, who are going to replace poor people in jobs here, who is going to be hurt more? The poor black and the poor white, or the rich black and the rich white? Think about it and get back to me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. This is old Lead Belly.
Kanye Radio.
Never met the man.
Kanye Radio.
Kanye Radio on. Ooh.
Kanye Radio.
Kanye Radio on.
Going on.
I love this song. I love this song. I came late to blues music. I fell into it 30 years ago. I did. I loved it when I first heard it. I didn't quite understand it. Then I really got to understand what it was. But are you a liberal? Can you define what you are and why you're still a liberal when it's dying in Brazil, dying in South America, dying in Europe, dying in England? Why are you hanging on to your liberalism? What is it that you like about it? To me, I would say left-wing, right-wing is more accurate than liberal-conservative. To me, left-wing is someone who hates their own country. Like in San Francisco, most of them hate America. Or they're anarchists. Or they're globalists. Or they're transnationalists. They hate everything about this country, and they have nothing to replace it with that they know of. And that is because they hate themselves and they hate their lives. So they take it out on the nation itself that lets them get away with it. Right-wing. What's a right-winger? I'm a right-winger. What do I mean I'm a right-winger? Well, I've always expressed my love for my nation. In what form? By my definition of what a nation is: borders, language, culture. I'm also a political realist. I'm a political realist, which is a little different, by the way, than what you may think. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
That's highs at night and lows in the morning. Anyway, it's Tom Waits. Terrific song, I recommend it. Welcome to hour number two of The Savage Nation. Of course, we're all tricked by Julian Assange. I woke up, couldn't wait to hit up the computer. I thought he was going to give the big disclosure on Clinton, and it was bring down the house. Nothing. Another phony. It looks to me like Wikipedia works for the Clinton Foundation now. Soon we'll find out that they got a donation yet. Or that their taxes were done by the same people who do the Clinton Foundation's taxes. That's, you know, you don't know who to believe anymore. He was going to release the thing today. The man behind the whole leak. Nothing. A fraud. Another one. Where is this? Where's the big Julian Assange leak everyone was waiting for? And Florida. The big one's coming in. 145 miles an hour coming in through the corridor between Dominican Republic and Cuba. Running right over poor Haiti again. Right up the eye of the storm is in Haiti. Running right through that little land, the sea split between Cuba and Dominican Republic, aiming right at Florida. I hope it goes offshore. Not a good one. 145 mile an hour winds. We haven't had a storm in Florida in years, 8 years. 8 years. I like storms, but you know, this is a different story altogether. A monster hurricane is not a storm. It's a monster hurricane. It's one thing to be in Florida and watch the sea, boiling like a cauldron. And I've been there. I stood on my balcony when I was down in Florida, looking at the ocean. I love storms. However, this is a little different. This could be a cataclysm. Nevertheless, there's nothing we can do about it, right? My mother said, never talk about religion or politics. Boy, was she wrong. Well, one thing I don't like to talk about much is the weather, because I can't do anything about it. At least politics you can do something about, and religion you can do something about. You can change your politics, you can change your religion, but you can't change the weather, can you? I think Al Gore would like to do that, to prove that global warming exists. Most Americans don't believe in climate change consensus, according to a liberal Pew poll. It's amazing, isn't it? But we're being fed the same every day. Every day, the same rubbish. The same rubbish. And I don't want to even go into that whole issue. I would say just study the Vostok ice core samples, as I spent the whole chapter on that in my previous book called Government Zero. So I don't want to do it again. I want to do this today. I want to ask you liberals to call the show. And or and when I say ask liberals to call, I mean call and explain to me how in an age when liberalism is dying in South America and in Europe, leftist era fading in Latin America, ask Colombia and Brazil and Argentina. So leftists are being rejected in England, Europe, and South America for a number of reasons. And leaders who are embracing market-friendly policies are eclipsing the leftists who exerted sway around the Americas in the previous decade. Once powerful leftist presidents like Da Silva of Brazil and Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner of Argentina now face corruption inquiries. If only we had a legitimate media in this country, I can guarantee you half the Obama administration would go to prison. Half the Senate would go to prison in this country. Half of them would go to prison. So this is a trend. Leftist governments are being tossed out in South America, and certainly we see what's going on in Europe. And the reason it's happening in Europe is quite clear. The elites, if you want to call them that, I don't like the word elites, because they're not elites to me. They're something other than elites. They're the opposite. They are the Solenterates of Europe, the worms of Europe, the Angela Merkels of Europe, who, despite what they see going on with their massive, massive, massive tsunami of immigrants, the people are screaming. Every referendum says, no, stop it. And they say the people are stupid. They don't know as much as we do. And, of course, the same is here. And if we had a legitimate media, if we even had two sides of the story being told by the mainstream media, we'd have the same results here. But we don't have a media. We have nothing. Nothing on the other side except a few websites, a few talk shows, and that's about it. Other than that, the entire media is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the corrupt left wing that is fading all over the world except here. So I ask you, if you're a liberal and you are a rational liberal looking around the world, and by the way, I'm not asking you to vote for Trump and asking you this question. Don't get me wrong. I really don't. I'm not here to sell anything right now. I'm asking you how you can define yourself as a liberal and say, I'm still a liberal in a time like this. What is it that you love? What is it as a liberal that you define yourself by? That is what I'm asking you. And I'm also asking the callers to call in with their favorite paragraph or passage from Scorched Earth. For if I don't do it, who will do it? You're going to hear it somewhere else. And the ratings came in today on streaming talk shows, and I'm proud to announce that you have made it the number one streaming show in the United States of America by a land mile. It says landslide. TalkStream Live says landslide. TalkStream Live had a sample size of 3.3 million listener sessions. That's very significant. It's not 300 people. That's huge. And of the 3.3 million listener sessions that were monitored, Savage came in with a 23.7 share, Limbaugh 15.1, Laura Ingraham 8.7, Sean Hannity 5.6, Glenn Beck 3.2, Yu-Yu at 2.5, Alex Jones 2.0, Mike Gallagher 1.7, Nori 1.6, Tammy Bruce 1.5, Howie Carr 1.5, Dennis Prager 1.5, Herman Cain 1.4, and then some other shows, some good, some bad, some indifferent. So that indicates that there's a huge listenership to this program. And as I said to you in the last hour, and I have to say it again, on terrestrial radio, which is most important to me, by the way, my most important outlet are the radio stations I am on. And WABC in New York happens to be the crown jewel of my syndication. It doesn't mean I don't respect all the others, no matter how small they may be, but it's a bellwether of what is going on around the country. And on WABC, the show is number one in day part in both 12-plus and 25-54. So again, thank you for listening to this program, and thank you for being with me on a daily basis. And I'll finish up by saying again, my nun novel, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Malbama, is second week on the New York Times bestseller list because of you. With absolutely no television appearances whatsoever, except if you want to call Alex Jones a television appearance. I want to thank Alex for that. You know, none of the other media will have me on. Blondie won't. Leprechaun won't. What are they threatened by? They have controversial opposition figures on Fox News all the time. What is it about me that they're afraid of? I don't understand it. So what if I called a Blondie? That's such a big deal? And what if I called Bill O'Reilly Leprechaun? That's such a big deal. That's like a polite thing. That's not vicious. But some people can't get over it. Now that Roger Ailes is gone, I thought he was the problem. I wish he'd be gone for good. He ought to open up a pachinko parlor somewhere in Japan. They threw him out because of the sexual allegations. Okay, I know nothing about that. And I heard he was an advisor for the Trump campaign. And I heard that he misadvised the Trump campaign. But I'm not going to tell you who I heard it from, nor can I confirm or deny that. He's gone from that, too. You see, he brought his liberalism with him to the Trump campaign. And that's what cost Trump the last debate, by the way. So speaking of the debate that's coming up this Sunday, this is what I'm going to watch. This is a night for the pizza and beer. This is a night to watch the whole thing. Because if he loses it, it's over. If he wins it, he might win. And he's got to go hard. He's got to go savage on her. I only wish they'd say, hey, Savage, can you fly in and be an advisor to us on how to deal with the debate? It's really quite simple, like tell the truth about what she is and what she's done. And don't take the bait. No matter what Anderson Blooper does, don't take the bait. And be prepared to rip Anderson Cooper to shreds and push him aside like the little mouse he is. No matter how he gavels down and says, now, wait a minute, Donald, that's not what I asked you. Say, hey, Anderson, let me tell you something. This is not about you. This is about America, so be quiet for a minute, Anderson. I'm going to answer this question the way I want to. That's the way to win the debate. Who says that they're above the law? Who says that you have to take their opinion on everything, meaning the so-called moderators? This is set up to begin with. So you have to push the moderator aside and go for the opponent in the ring. And you got to defeat that opponent as quickly as you can. You got to go at her immediately. No nice guy this time, Donald. No gloves off this time, Donald. No holier than thou, Donald. Don't be the good Christian this time, Donald. Go for broke. Bring up all of the things that the media won't bring up, Donald. Well, I don't know if they still listen to this show, and I would hope that they do. And I hope that they got the message. Because if they do, they'll win. If they don't, they'll lose. 855-407-282. Let's go to Joseph on WMAL on the issue of why he is a liberal. Joseph, go ahead, please.
How are you doing today, Mr. Savage?
Please tell me what your idea is.
My idea is that I believe liberalism is a way to get the truth out and to be for people. So that doesn't mean I am a kind of liberal who is going to sell out my country. I love my country. And you were talking about Clinton before. And Clinton had an interesting idea. Why do we have to pay all this money to support lobbyists and the structure to insure people when the money should go to allowing doctors to do their jobs and not for the structure itself?
But wait a minute, where would the money come from for universal health care? Who would pay for it in either case?
We're going to have taxpayers pay for it.
Wait, so in other words, when Obama brings in refugees or immigrants who will never work and don't work, and they collect SSI, who's paying for that? It is coming out of the Social Security system. And the older Americans who put money into the system are being robbed on a daily basis by this idea of, oh, let's bring in Somalis, many of whom don't work. They go on SSI, and it got so bad now that they're sending them back to Somalia. Did you know they're paying for them to go back to Somalia to visit their homeland? Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that. And I think it's nonsense, and I'm a liberal who's completely against that. I'm a liberal.
So you're probably, you are probably a social liberal, but a fiscal conservative. Would that be closer to what you would define yourself as?
Maybe, but I'm also an independent liberal, and I've never bought into the Democrat society and the Democrat building of, you know, you have to support everyone. I look for the right people, and I vote for them. For example, in the last election, I voted for Romney because I knew Obama was tearing this country apart. And to me, that was the more important thing.
Well, okay, so when I say America is devolving into a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos, you would agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely chaotic right now. There's no plan.
It is. It's very chaotic. And it's chaotic because of the extreme policies of Obama. Whether you want to define them as liberalism is one thing, it's irrelevant. It is because of the chaotic policies of Obama. And what I'm afraid of is that Hillary wants to continue these policies, which is why I'm for Trump. It's quite interesting. Think about what I just said. She doesn't say, I'm going to take Obama's policies and keep the good ones and get rid of the bad ones. She says, I want to continue his policies. And moreover, she wants to escalate his policies, such as bringing in 550% more Muslims into this nation. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. And my friend Joseph from MAL in Washington, D.C., I thank you for being open-minded enough to listen to the opposition that is on this show. And I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth. That brings us to 19 minutes after the hour. It's almost lunchtime for me. As you know, what will happen during the break is the lunch will come in with the assistant. And, of course, my mood will go along with them. As the lunch goes down the stomach, so does the mood go down with it. And I'll start to become a different talk show, which is what you love, because you get several different talk shows each day on the show. You get the early one, you get the middle one, and you get the late one. Well, right now you still have the early one. So let's take a break and see how the middle one is going to be when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Tomorrow's already a Wednesday.
Wednesday's the hardest day in the world for me. Thursday already I can get through the week. I remember when I was a kid, I'd wake up, and I didn't want to go to school. I hated school. I hated it. I don't know how I lasted so long. I got master's degrees and a PhD. I became a scholar because I loved learning, but I hated school. But I knew if I had to, I wanted to learn, I had to go to school. See, that was the problem. I hated the prison. When I got to graduate school, I loved school because I was able to be more free in my thinking and discussions. So she would say to me, come on, get up, Michael. It's only today, tomorrow, and Friday. I can hear it to this day. Meaning Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we'll get you through the week. Hey, it's great having a mother. It would be wonderful to have a mother, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to have a mother in the White House? Wouldn't it be great? That's what Hillary's selling, by the way. She's going to be America's mother. Wow. What fun I'm going to have if she's the mother. She let Bill run around pretty good. In that sense, she's a true liberal. She believed in the Rabelaisian way. Hey, if it feels good, Bill, do it. Why not do it in the road? We could always change the carpets in the east room, west room, north room, south room. Don't worry about it, Bill. There's leather on that desk, but we can always replace that leather. Gets worn out. She was a true liberal. So what is a liberal and why are you a liberal is the question. We can define it. What's a conservative, too? But we've done that. Everyone's a conservative. But what is a liberal? We never let the other side speak on the show. So today you speak, I listen. Jonathan, line number 9 from WABC out of New York City. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, liberal is a red herring. They are not classical liberals. They are Marxists. They are socialists. They are statists. They are not liberals. I'm a liberal. I have a background in economics. I have a background in history. I've served in the military. Our founding fathers were liberals. They had one of the most liberal ideas in the world and established a country on it. The people who are claiming the title of liberals now are not liberals. They're statists.
You're talking about the progs who have taken over the Democrat Party.
Exactly.
Right. In other words, you can see it in San Francisco. It's run basically by prog criminals who usually use their liberalism, quote-unquote, to rob the Treasury blind.
See it in New York.
And this is why liberalism is dying in South America, why they've been thrown out on corruption charges, because basically they're all thieves. The only reason we don't see the people who are thieves in the Democrat Party in this country going to prison is because we don't have a vigorous media. South America has a vigorous media. Europe has a more vigorous media than we do. We have no opposition press here. All right, thank you for being a classic liberal. And when I come back, maybe we'll change gears and go to another topic with all the news, views, and reviews that you've come to expect on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Ask the Europeans what they think about leftist governments. The only, major nation on earth that seems to be in love with leftism, at least 50% of the voters seem to be, according to the media, is the United States of America. And I think that's a product of the fact that we have been flooded with immigrants who don't work. We have a press that is owned by the leftist government. And the American people don't even know what's going on around them. That's all. That's how I see it. KSFO Online, Bill, line 8, go ahead, please, you're on the Savage Nation.
Look at television. There used to be shows about heroes such as Gunsmoke and Peter Gunn. There were shows with respected father figures such as Bonanza and Father Knows Best. In the 70s, we even had Good Times, in which John Amos played a strong black father figure. Then came Dad as a Clown. From The Cosby Show to Everybody Loves Raymond, the father was reduced to a punchline. On The Simpsons, the father is a moron. The mother is the adult. The father is just another child for the mother to contend with. It is no wonder boys are growing up emasculated. The left has wiped out the father as the respected figure.
Where did you read this? That's brilliant writing. Where is that?
That's page 65 from Scorched Earth.
Who is the writer of that book? He's pretty good.
Yes, that's Dr. Michael Savage. And
wow, I got to start listening to his show. Where is he heard these days?
Oh gosh, I'm listening to you on the computer. So I'm one of those 3.3 million. And
well, Bill, I'm sending you Scorched Earth to give away to your liberal ex-wife. I hope you appreciate that. I can't resist that joke. During World War II, Hollywood was patriotic. Jimmy Stewart was a war hero. Tyrone Power was a Marine. Future star Burt Lancaster served in Europe, while Charlton Heston was stationed in the Aleutians. Clark Gable trained as an Air Force gunner. Gable was too old to enlist, but he went anyway. Do you understand what America meant to those men? American movies accurately portrayed America as the good guys. Cartoons such as Der Führer's Face, which featured Donald Duck, mocked Adolf Hitler. Just before the United States entered the war, the great Charlie Chaplin lambasted both Hitler and Mussolini in The Great Dictator. That was then. Now, Hollywood is now run by ardent liberals. The few pro-American movies out there have to be privately financed to get made. And when they are, the filmmakers are usually pilloried in the press. Religious movies such as Ben-Hur and the Ten Commandments used to be mainstream. Everyone went to see them. Now they're a niche market, barely getting a theatrical release before showing up on Netflix. The left is long. I can go on and on. You get it? I'm talking about the cultural meltdown in Scorched Earth. For those of you who don't understand what I am talking about. I then talk about the meltdown of America by referring to a lawyer named Kunstler, who defended the utterly indefensible. Now, many of you mistakenly think, that by joining the American Civil Liberties Union, you're actually protecting your freedoms. You're the opposite. You're actually not protecting your freedoms. Kunstler, who was an ACLU type, defended the American Nazi Party. Can you tell me why that makes sense? When the American Nazis wanted to march through a Jewish neighborhood, I forget where in the Middle West, it was the ACLU who said that we will go in and defend their right to antagonize all the Jews in the neighborhood. They also defended the Weather Underground terrorists. Obama's pal Bill Ayers, the felon who was Obama's mentor, who was front and center in the anti-Trump protests in the spring of 2016. Obama's pal Bill Ayers set off bombs that murdered innocent civilians. After Ayers and his wife, Bernardine Dorn, were acquitted, Ayers chirped, "Guilty as hell, free as a bird." Thanks, ACLU. And so, my friends, watch out which side you're on. Kunstler defended the violent, militant Black Panther Party. Many of the Black Panthers were eventually convicted of violent crimes, including murder. The globe is still reeling from their brutal activism. Modern groups from the New Black Panther Party to Black Lives Matter have taken part in violence under the cloak of social action. The New Black Panthers held billy clubs outside polling stations. In Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, and elsewhere, Black Lives Matter is known for burning down stores, looting and stealing electronics in the name of racial justice. Bella Abzug, Tim Leary, Allen Ginsberg, and Kunstler are not abstract theoretical agitators. Leary hired me to guard the LSD from being stolen. Ginsberg briefly appealed to me. I was a young leftist on the verge of my own insanity. I was naive and stupid. I grew up, they never did. It takes time to destroy a civilization. And like ancient Rome, it typically occurs from within. Even the worst activists have to learn their behavior from somewhere. There is no leftist activist gene unless one believes that babies are born stupid. Miserable ideas have to be taught, and the original teacher of leftist activism was an Italian communist named Antonio Gramsci. I'll stop right there, pages 63 and 64 of the most important book of our time, Scorched Earth. Now let's go back to the callers on what liberalism is and move on to the news of the day, the storm. Oh, I didn't bring up the vice presidential debate, the VP debate tonight, because I'm not watching it. I would rather watch Sopranos reruns than the VP debate. In fact, television has gotten so bad now that Ray Donovan is over, and there was a worst ending in history. Horrible. They didn't know how to end it. Let's talk about pop culture for a minute. What am I watching on TV now? I watch Sopranos reruns. Even the History Channel has become boring. I can't even watch it. How many times can I see Morgan Freeman as God? How many times can I see Morgan Freeman saving the world? How many times can I rely upon Morgan Freeman, the racist, in my opinion, marching around like he's somehow a neutral person on the stage? We heard who Morgan Freeman was not too long ago. I don't watch anything with Morgan Freeman in it, let alone him lecturing me about what God is. So I don't watch much television anymore. I watch Sopranos reruns. That's about it. News? Tell me what news you watch. I can't watch Fox News for more than a minute or two. I can't. I'm sorry. There are some decent people on it. But something's happened. They've been neutered. It's become more neutered than ever. So, where do I go for my news? I sometimes BBC, very left-wing. Sometimes RT. If you can get the news discussion show, some of the people are brilliant. I asked my producer, Doug, to book one of the women on there named Olga. She speaks five languages. She's just a brilliant analyst. Totally logical. And she has such a way of explaining things. We don't have anyone in the news business with that level of intellect or opinion that I see. And sometimes Japanese NHK television. Other than that, I'm really stuck for the news. I turn on the Drudge Report. I turn on Breitbart. I go to Newsmax. I go to USA Today. I go to Alex Jones's thing. That's where I get my news from. That's where I get my news from. It's that simple. And I then draw my own conclusions. Basically, I try to feel what's going on in addition to thinking about what's going on. And today, as you know, most people are burned out by the whole political charade. The election that's turned into a circus. People cannot take another day of it. We have never seen an election go on as long as this. I've been saying for years we need reform in the election process itself. It should be limited to something like, 90 days? How much longer do we need the 90 days? What do we need this for? There's a reason it's going on forever. It's called the news media. It's called selling advertising around the campaign. It's called bamboozling the public into thinking that they actually have a huge choice here. That's what it comes down to. So maybe there is something to be said for a very long, drawn-out campaign where after a while, eventually, you start to see the lines being blurred and you realize that there's a single-party system with no pee under the shells. So let's go to some of the other topics on the Savage Nation. Here's one from the Washington Post. Thanks to the 2016 election, kids don't want to be president anymore. Do you want to grow up to be president when you were a kid? For many American children, it isn't uncommon to aspire to run the country someday. This year, though, nearly two-thirds of children responded to a survey saying that they have no interest in growing up to be president. Results that highlight 2016's election fatigue, as well as the pressure and stress surrounding the November ballot. The kids poll said being president was too difficult, too stressful, and too much pressure. One unnamed 9-year-old girl said she wouldn't want the job because she, quote, would be scared that I would do something wrong if I get elected, and that she wouldn't like all of the attention. All right, big deal. All right, so it's little sissy children. Pope tells Americans ahead of election, study, pray, and vote, according to Reuters. Pope Francis the Meddler, that's probably a good moniker for him, Pope Francis the Meddler, on Sunday advised U.S. Catholics who feel they are torn between two imperfect candidates for president to study and pray before they vote and to make sure to follow their conscience. I don't know what that means. Because at the end of his little, whatever they call it, he kind of got a little political and basically told everyone to vote for Hillary. Because he said at the end of his little sermon that although he wants to talk about a fictional situation, Pope Francis the Meddler said that the United States was among the countries that had become so politicized that it had effectively lost what he called a culture of politics. In other words, oh, okay, they're not good enough to the immigrants that he wants in the country. Poll says majority supports ground troops to fight Islamic State, oppose Syrian refugees. Education Secretary John King says homeschool students not getting the range of options they should. Uh-oh, watch out for that one. Mother of Sylacauga High School student says assault could have been prevented. Did you hear about that one? Her son, Brian Ogle, was beaten almost to death by blacks simply because he held up signs that said Blue Lives Matter. And then the fair-minded Black Lives Matter crowd almost beat him to death. He was assaulted in the parking lot of an old hardware store following his high school's homecoming game. Police said the 17-year-old was bleeding from the head. And that was all before he held up a sign saying that Blue Lives Matter. That's the nation under Barack, the Meddler, Obama. That opens up 53,000 lines to the Savage Nation at 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's go to some of the callers. WJR, Dan, line 8, go ahead, please. You're on the program.
Yes, I think the left has sunk to even the lowest level I've ever seen. In the USA Today yesterday, this woman wrote an article entitled Why My Father Would Like Trump, and there she went on to bash her father, who died, but she bashed her living mother, and her 86-year-old mother. She named the woman in the paper, just like a communist country, this woman's a private citizen that she named. She humiliated her living 86-year-old mother, saying what a horrible person she was. She says,
well, there are people like that all over San Francisco who ran away from their families because they think that there's something better for them out there. While they themselves have no children, they think that if they did have children, they would be better parents than their parents were, but they themselves don't have any children. And then they run around the streets telling parents how to raise their children and tell taxpayers how to spend their money. Typical San Francisco liberalism gone awry. But the fact of the matter is, I blame that on the editors of USA Today, who absolutely should have had the sense not to publish it. But given that it is a propaganda rag wholly owned by the Democrat Party, I would expect nothing less from them. So what else is new under the sun? It goes to the main point I've been making today, that we have no opposition press in the main in this nation. None whatsoever. They have more freedom. Click goes the ISDN line. Are we still connected? Oh, the shades of last Monday. The hot click with the clicker. I just got an ISDN chirp, which... No, that was the phone, thank God. Okay, let's go to the Drudge Report. Rasmussen, Clinton, Trump tied again. Ho-hum. Pass me the toothpick. Bubba Bash is burning on college campus. Boring. WikiTees, liar. Clinton Foundation hacked. Nothing there. Tonight, VP debate showdown, won't be watching it. Storm watch for Florida, 145 miles an hour. It'll probably veer off at the last minute like it always does. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know what the weather's going to do. But it's aiming right at, like, the Carolinas. There'll be a lot of turbulence in Florida if it doesn't strike directly. But usually it, like, comes in, it's almost going to hit. They put up the shutters, they take out the lawn furniture, they get the water, the food, the supermarkets are cleared out. The people with money leave Palm Beach, they fly to anywhere else. The entire coast is evacuated from anyone who has money. And then the poor groundskeepers have to stay there in the basement shuddering with a shortwave radio. And then at the last second, the storm like goes out to sea. Let's hope it's the same thing. Now here's the story I should have talked about from the beginning. Yahoo secretly scanned customer emails for the NSA and the FBI. Now, that's a good one, because that's what we were talking about yesterday, which was the greatest surveillance state in the history of the world, all from the great liberal Barack Obama, who's turned this into something like, not out of 1984, but much worse than 1984. Orwell could only have imagined what this man has done to us. And that's why yesterday I started to talk about 1984, specifically the character John the Savage. Oh, yes. And you will see some parallels between John the Savage in Brave New World and Michael the Savage of the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. There's only 2 minutes left in this hour. Can you believe it? Time is flying. Well, okay, what can I tell you? All I can tell you is I ate 2 Chinese lunches in the last 5 minutes. I got 2 takeout specials. And as I go into hour number 3, I feel better, but my mind is already quieter, which is good. There's 2 ways to do the show: hysterical and on the edge, starving to death, a lot of caffeine, and the shows are terrible, they're screechy. Or calm. I'm calm. I need food. The blood has gone to my Lebanza, which where it should be. I mean, maybe it's better to have more blood in the Lebanza than in the head. There's too much blood in the head. You know what it leads to? I have no idea. Mainly, we've been talking about the leftist era fading in Latin America. We see that the left wing has been thrown out in several major nations because of corruption. We see what is happening in Europe to the left. We see what's happened in England to the left. The only place where the left has not been exhibited for what it is, totally corrupt, totally without popular support, is in the United States of America, because 99.9% of the progs in the media are the corrupt products of these progs. They were put there specifically as little marionettes for the prog movement to deceive the people into thinking that the system that is not working is working, and to deceive them into thinking that the government is filled with honorable people so long as they're Democrats, and evil racists, homophobes, anti-woman, anti-plant, anti-reptile, anti-cilenterates. Anyone who's a Republican actually hates the air itself, according to the progs in the media. They would suck the oxygen out of the atmosphere and sell it for a profit, according to the progs in the media. So you draw your own conclusions. What is a liberal? You decide. This is Michael Savage. And I want to say this again. Thanks for making this show number one on so many stations and on the internet. And despite the blacklisting by the prog media, Scorched Earth is number 4 on the New York Times list this week.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Hillary Clinton hasn't made an honest dollar in her entire life. All she does is takes from you, takes from your country, and peddles influence to donors, special interests, and foreign actors for astronomical dollars like you've never seen before. It's corruption of the highest order. You know it, I know it, she knows it, and plenty of other people know it, but they're not doing anything about it. Well, I made my money as a very successful private business person, following the law all the way. Hillary Clinton made her money as a corrupt public official, breaking the law and putting her government office up for sale.
Now, that's what we have to hear during the debate coming this Sunday. And he's got to stop listening to the liberals inside his own circle who basically, you know, slowed him down a little bit last week. In clip 12 on C-SPAN today, this is astonishing. Trump says things about the FBI I never thought he was going to say, but you have to hear clip 12 right now on the Savage Nation as well.
The investigation of Hillary Clinton was rigged And it's a shame. And it's one of the saddest things that have ever taken place in our nation. Believe me, what's gone on. We've become a banana republic. You know what? We have. Now today we learned that the FBI made a side deal with Clinton's top aides to destroy their laptops. Did you know this? Let me repeat. The FBI reportedly made a deal to destroy the laptops of government officials implicated in a massive criminal cover-up.
Yeah, he's right. It's right. It's 100% true. So now you know that there is a Trump effect going on in the country. People who were in the past, let's say Democrats, they know that the machine is so corrupt that they're willing to take a chance on Trump. It's as simple as that. And we haven't heard much from the Bernie supporters. We will in this hour. Many Bernie supporters are going to vote for Trump because they will not vote for Hillary for reasons that you'll hear on this program. John on KSFO, you are a Bernie supporter and you will be voting for whom, please?
I'll be voting for Trump. I'm absolutely disgusted with Hillary Clinton, but I like what you said about getting your news elsewhere. I was watching another program getting my news and I saw Obama with a yarmulke on. And with this Israel, $38 billion. And I want to know if you have the hoods, but answer this question, because I find when I ask it to talk show hosts, they either turn off the radio or they call me anti-Semitic. But I'm wondering if you are familiar with the Zionist movement in this country and how our money goes to Israel and we fight their wars, essentially, on our tax.
I think the Zionist movement is a great movement. I think it's created the State of Israel, which was fabulous. It's given the Jews a homeland in a sea of hatred and intolerance. And maybe if the Arabs would open their eyes, their ears, and learn a little bit from their Jewish neighbors, it would be a better world.
Hmm. Well,
let me ask you this, John. If you were to wind up in an unnamed Middle Eastern nation without a passport, would you rather wind up without a passport in select the following: Egypt, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon? Where would you rather wind up? Where do you think you'd have a better chance of a fair trial and even surviving? Would it be Israel, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Egypt, or Saudi Arabia? Which one?
I'll say this. Israel is America's daddy, so I'd want
to... But you won't answer the question. I asked you a simple, pragmatic question. I know where you're coming from, is that you don't like Israel, you hate Israel, and you've been brainwashed into thinking that Zionism is evil, that the Zionists control the world, and they pull the strings and they get us into their wars. I know where you're coming from, but I asked you a more pragmatic question, which is, if you had no passport and you were to land in the Middle East, which country do you think would give you the best chance of survival?
Israel.
Also, for that reason alone, why must you walk around with such an enmity towards Israel?
I'm not against Israel at all. I listen to Dr. Finkelstein. I love Jewish people. I love your show. I love Bernie Sanders. Love Jill Stein. But I think that there's a lot of people that are standing up against the nationalism of Israel and the apartheid that Jimmy Carter talks about. I mean, there's a lot of people that are smart people that can see what's going on with 30.
Well, it's only the apartheid that saves the Jews from bombs. It's only the wall that they built with the West Bank that has prevented the bombs from going off. And that's why we need a wall with Mexico, don't you agree?
I do actually agree with that. I think
so. You agree that we need some kind of apartheid. Apartheid we need to be apart from. What do we need to be apart from? We need the third world overrunning us?
No.
Why do you think all the European countries are voting to erect fences to keep out the Muslims and the Africans? Is it because they're inherently racist? Or because they finally woke up to the fact that their survival is at stake?
Wow.
Look,
I don't know how to answer that.
I'm not going to change your mind. A lot of people have this notion that Israel's the bad boy in the world and it's controlling the whole world. I don't agree with it. In fact, I'm on record saying that we should cut off all aid to Israel. I'll say it again. It's long overdue that Israel, which has a booming economy, took care of itself and made new alliances and got handouts from other countries. Just as the Soviet Union eventually cut off all aid to Cuba, we have to cut off all aid not only to Israel, but frankly to all nations on earth. I have no idea why, when we have people dying in VA hospitals, we're sending money to nations that may have a better capacity to take care of themselves than we do in supplying money that isn't even the government's money. So I don't know if that answers your question. I totally support Israel, but I do not support foreign aid. I'll go on to Foreign Aid is a product of World War II. Foreign aid was necessary after the world blew up after World War II. Foreign aid was necessary to rebuild nations so they had a chance at democracy. Those days are long over. We have found out what meddling in foreign nations has done in Iraq. What has it given us? Not a barrel of oil. What has meddling in Afghanistan gotten us? Not a barrel of oil. Nothing. So I would say that charity begins at home. And I thank you for calling. I don't know if that's going to, you know, interest anybody, but that's where I came from. So let's go to a few other sound bites here on the program today. And that would be, I guess, the best one I heard, and I'm going to play it again, is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton gave us the best speech of the day, where he said Obamacare is a crazy system, and that would be clip number 10.
So you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people are out there busting it sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. It's the craziest thing in the world. On the other hand, the current system works fine if you're eligible for Medicaid, if you're a lower-income working person, if you're already on Medicare, or if you get enough subsidies on a modest income that you can afford your health care. But the people that are getting killed in this deal are small business people and individuals who make just a little too much to get any of these subsidies.
So he sounds very, very rationalist and pragmatic on the issue of free medical care for everyone. And when this came along, I said to you, how are we going to afford to pay for all the refugees in the world and their gold-plated health care systems? The answer is we are not affording it. And, of course, the chickens are coming home to roost, and you'll see it all next year when the whole system collapses entirely. And after that debacle, Obama will be laughing all the way to Switzerland on his way to running the world at the and becoming Mustafa Mond, the ruler of the universe. Which leads us to John Savage in Brave New World. I have referred to Brave New World many times, and the chief character in Brave New World is a man named John the Savage. And although the character, written by Aldous Huxley, is the son of two upper-caste Londoners, he grows up in the squalor of the Savage Reservation. And as a result, he is disconnected, he is rejected. And he lives in a society that is only in his mind. John Savage lives only in Shakespeare's imaginative world. And he lives in this world thinking that it's real. In that sense, John the Savage is the true loner. He is the individual, the true individual. Then there are other characters in it. But what does John Savage try to do? John Savage tries to save the world from the power of the Brave New World that is crushing humanity. And he has terrible, terrible struggles. He calls the deltas in Brave New World to rebellion. Remember, there were alphas, betas, gammas, and deltas. Well, John Savage gets the deltas together, and he tells them to throw out their drugs, the soma. How many times have I told you to get rid of your Prozac? How many times have I told you that marijuana is the most dangerous drug on earth? Precisely because it's seen as a benign drug. It is the entry-level drug. Well, like John Savage, I told you to throw out the soma, but you didn't listen to me. Finally, in Brave New World, John Savage faces against the most powerful man on the world, Mustafa Mond, and it ends in tragedy for him. Because he realizes that although he wants to change the world, because the Brave New World is killing humanity, John Savage eventually comes to understand that the power of the world state cannot be overturned. It will resist all unstabilizing forces. But John is also held back in this book, as written by Huxley, by his own tendencies towards violence and self-loathing. And I'll stop at that point. You can read Brave New World for yourself all over again. It was a book that shaped me in many ways. In Brave New World, one of the characters, again, I'll go into, is John Savage. He is the only major character in that book who has grown up outside of the world state. He is the perfect exemplar of the outsider. He has spent his entire life alienated even from his own village on the New Mexico Savage Reservation. Listen to what I just said to you. Although he grew up on a savage reservation because he was an outsider, even in that reservation, he was alienated from his own village. And he can also not fit into the world state society. And as I said to you, he lives in a fantasy world. His entire worldview is based on his knowledge of Shakespeare's plays, which he can quote with great facility. I suggest you read Brave and the World all over again and learn about the other characters like Bernard Marx, Helmholtz Watson, Lenina Crown, Mustafa Mohn, the resident world controller, Henry Foster, Linda, the director, the arch community songster, Pope, the warden. Nevertheless, the point is we're living in the Brave and the World today. And we woke up to discover just today how unbrave the new world really is. We see that Yahoo secretly scanned consumer emails for the U.S. intelligence services. It was disclosed only today. Yahoo Inc. last year secretly built a custom software program to search all of its customers' incoming mails for specific information provided by U.S. intelligence officials, according to people familiar with the matter. The company complied with a classified U.S. government demand, scanning hundreds of millions of Yahoo mail accounts at the behest of the NSA or FBI, said three former employees and a fourth person apprised of the events. This is the first case to surface of a U.S. internet company agreeing to a spy agency's request by searching all arriving messages, as opposed to examining stored messages or scanning a small number of accounts in real time. Now, what this means is that they were scanning all of our messages on Yahoo, not to catch terrorists, but simply to catch us and to imprison us in this Brave New World. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Now, I guess most of this is of no interest to people on the cusp of yet another debate that has no meaning. Are you going to watch the debates tonight? I'm not. I told you before. I think they're two of the most milquetoast of men. I can make all the jokes in the world that I want. It's still not going to change things. Why anybody would be interested in what Tim Kaine, who looks like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street, has to say is beyond me. I mean, if you were going to take Tim Kaine's face onto an app where you could put clown makeup on it, tell me he's not a dead ringer for Freddy Krueger in Nightmare on Elm Street. And then when we get to the other character on the other side, why Trump picked him is beyond me. I have no idea. He's a decent man. He's a fine man. He's a good man. But that's not enough for me. Why didn't he pick a war hero? Why didn't he pick a combat veteran? Why didn't he pick somebody, man or woman, Donald Trump, who would have given us, I don't know, invigorated us, moved us in some way, where we could say what a great choice that is? We didn't see that. Apparently Mike Pence is a Republican insider, and that was reason enough.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Here's what the frogs have done to America. A new census just came out. There are a record 42.4 million immigrants as a result of the progs, especially the maniac in the White House. 23% of school kids are immigrants. The Muslims represent the biggest jump. There are now more immigrants, legal and illegal, in America than ever before as a result of the prog in the White House. It is fueled by a massive, massive tsunami from Muslim nations. And the growing numbers of immies are substantially impacting public services such as public schools, according to a new analysis of Census Bureau data. There are 10.9 million students from immigrant households in public schools, which accounts for 23% of all public school students, according to the Center for Immigration Studies. And while the doors remain open on the United States-Mexico border, the number one increase in immigration, number one, are all from Muslim nations as a result of the president, who has a very peculiar sympathy towards Islam. There's a lot more to this. You can read all about it in the Washington Times. And that would be a story of stories if we had a legitimate press. It's the Washington Examiner by Paul Bedard. Excuse me. The census shows 23% of school kids are immigrants, the biggest jump being Obama's friends in the Muslim world. Columbia University, the president's alma mater, is going to host a No Whites Allowed student leadership retreat. That's according to the College Fix. Students of color at Columbia University can apply to attend an upcoming racially segregated retreat hosted by the school that promises to embolden and empower participants, according to organizers. The Students of Color Leadership Retreat 2016 is open to students within the Columbia University undergraduate community. The only people who can attend are white people. You have to be African, African American, black, Latino, Hispanic, Asian, Asian American. You get the picture. In other words, the left in America is a racist pack of jackals. The whites are being chewed alive by the racists who screamed that they were downtrodden minorities. Wake up before it's too late. Read Scorched Earth while it's still legal to do so. Give it to a Prague friend while you still can.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, before we continue with this and other topics on liberal conservative, I've got to take care of something very important. The streaming radio talk show ratings just came out today by TalkStream Live. And their headline is, Savage wins by a landslide. Of course I'm telling you what they said. That's their headline. Savage wins by a landslide. Third quarter 2016, Michael Savage, 23.7 share. Number two, Rush Limbaugh, 15.1 share. Laura Ingraham, 8.7 share. Sean Hannity, 5.6 share. Glenn Beck, 3.2 share. Yu Yu at 2.5 share. Alex Jones, 2.0. Michael Gallagher, 1-7. George Nuri, 1-6. And then there's a whole bunch of other people, some good, some bad, some indifferent. Survey period from July to September. The sample size is bigger than ever, 3.3 million listener sessions. Don't underestimate it. A lot of people say, it doesn't mean anything, you know. It does mean something. It's an indicator. So I want to talk about liberalism. And you know that most people who listen to this show consider themselves very hard conservatives, right-wingers, if you want to put it that way. I would like to know why a person remains a left-winger or a liberal in a time like this, when the nation is bankrupt, when there are terror, riots, mobs, and chaos. How can you support your liberalism? As a result of these 8 years, the terror has gone ballistic. One terror attack after another, and he looks the other way. He won't even say radical Islam. And that's a result of what? Is it liberalism, or is it that he's a Islamophile? What is it about Obama? I don't even care anymore. It doesn't matter what it is about him. I want to know from you. Are you a liberal and why? How do you define yourself? That's what I want to know. You see, liberals want to feel that they're doing good. Liberals want to walk around with an internal halo over their head. Liberals want to pat themselves on the head when they take a shower in the morning saying, I am a good person. I am not a mean person like those right-wingers. I want to help the poor. I want to give everyone health care. Health care is a right. And they repeat all the homilies that have been fed into them in the last 40 years by the welfare state and the welfare statists in the media and in the government and in academia. But the question always returns to the basic question of who will pay for their liberalism. When I see that Bill Clinton slamming Obamacare as the craziest thing in the world, where he says you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people who are out there busting at sometimes 60 hours a week wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half, and it's the craziest thing in the world. That's Bill Clinton. Why didn't Trump say that on the last debate? Because he was misadvised by a liberal conservative who had entered the inner circle. I think we have to play a soundbite from a man who was clearly a liberal, and that would be Mr. Bill Clinton in clip number 10.
So you've got this crazy system where all of a sudden 25 million more people have health care, and then the people are out there busting it sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. It's the craziest thing in the world. On the other hand, the current system works fine if you're eligible for Medicaid, if you're a lower-income working person, if you're already on Medicare, or if you get enough subsidies on a modest income that you can afford your health care. But the people that are getting killed in this deal are small business people and individuals who make just a little too much to get any of these subsidies.
Well, there's an example. I'm going to tell you something. Bill Clinton makes great sense. He just said the truth. He sounds more intelligent than his wife, because he is. He sounds more rational in what he just said than almost all of the campaign rhetoric that I have heard. On both sides of the debate, by the way, why is it all of a sudden Bill Clinton has had his come to Jesus moment? Well, for one, he's trying to help his wife's campaign by showing he's a moderate. He's trying to say she's more moderate than the crazy, woolly-eyed Marxist liberals like Bernie Sanders. That's clearly what he's doing there. Meanwhile, he made a very good point. So it's okay to believe in something, and then you have to be a pragmatist and pay for that something. Where is the money supposed to come from? So the Republican usually says he's a conservative, but that's not always true. Mitt Romney was not a conservative. What's the basic plank of a conservative? Small government, low taxes, right? We've all heard that. Small government, low taxes. Small government, low taxes. However, you get a variance in both Democrat and Republican. Bush and Reagan, what would you call them? You could call them both social conservatives and military conservatives, right? Bush and Reagan. But they were fiscally liberal. They're both fiscal liberals. But overall, you'd call them a conservative. Then there are liberals in the Republican Party who are generally fiscally conservative, but social liberals. Or they could be anti-war doves and be Republicans. They don't, like the Republicans before World War II who didn't want to enter the war and were called isolationists. And you could still be a fiscal conservative. So there are many varieties of each, and I think it's time for us to stop pigeonholing each other. Well, we read that the leftist era is fading in Latin America, according to the New York Times, and you know they know everything. And they said Colombia rejected a peace deal with Marxist rebels on Sunday, delivering a very public victory to the conservative former president who campaigned passionately against it. On the very same day, voters in Brazil handed a resounding defeat to the leftist party that once controlled their country, knocking it down in municipal elections. This shows a radical shift to the right in Latin America in less than a year. They say in less than a year, voters have thwarted the leftist movement. Even in Argentina, where they elected a former investment banker as president of Peru. While lawmakers have impeached the leftist leader of Brazil. Put simply, conservatives are on the rise in Latin America. The same is in Europe. The same is true in Europe. The Brexit vote, that was a defeat of leftism and liberalism. Wherever you turn in Europe, the people are rising up there at the point of revolution because of liberalism or leftism. I like this topic so far. I read an analysis before the show of 10 differences between liberals and conservatives by John Hawkins on Town Hall. And some of them, I'll go into it, okay? Conservatives believe in pursuing policies because they're pragmatic and because they work. Liberals believe in pursuing policies because they're nice and it makes them feel good. Whether their policies they're advocating actually work or not is of secondary importance to them. That was like the nice lady who called at the beginning of the show, who said that she believes health care is a right. She believes that everyone is entitled to free health care. And when I asked her who will pay for it, she couldn't answer me. She just said it feels good, it feels right. And then I quoted Bill Clinton, who said Obamacare is a crazy system. Now, wait a minute, Bill Clinton is more conservative in that speech against Obamacare, which he calls a crazy system, than Trump was during the first debate. Listen to Bill Clinton in the next cut, clip 11, on how Obamacare doesn't work for insurers.
If you were on the other side of this, if you were an insurer, you'd say, gosh, I only got 2,000 people in this little pool. 80% of the insurance costs every year come from 20% of the people. If I get unlucky in the pool, I'll lose money. So they overcharge you just to make sure, and on good years, they just make a whopping profit out of the people least able to pay it. It doesn't make any sense. The insurance model doesn't work here. It's not like life insurance. It's not like casualty. It's not like predicting flood. It doesn't work.
Oh, I hear where he's going. Okay, so he's not really bashing Obamacare. He's pushing for single payer from the U.S. government. That he wants to push the insurers out of the business and have the government insure everybody. That's what he was doing. Okay. So the first cut was Obamacare is a crazy system that's killing small business. The next cut was the insurers are vicious and they should be put out of business and let us Big Brother take over. Okay, I got it. So he was actually being more liberal than I thought. All right. Well, at least I listened to the whole thing now. You know, I want to say something to you. Obama is not a liberal by any definition. say, well, he's not a liberal at all. He is a Machiavellian manipulator of the highest order. I don't want to go into talking about what I think about him because I've done it for 7.5 years now, and frankly, it's painful that a man could get away with abusing the public trust like this for so long, both liberals and conservatives, and still be considered a savior of the poor. That's the last thing he ever intended to do. It's all about pushing his own agenda, which is the universal worldwide agenda, which is not good for the poor in America, and it's certainly not good for black people. And I'll just complete this little sentence, paragraph with another sentence. If you're bringing in unskilled labor from Central America, who are going to replace poor people in jobs here, who is going to be hurt more? The poor black and the poor white, or the rich black and the rich white? Think about it and get back to me. To me, I would say left-wing, right-wing is more accurate than liberal-conservative. To me, left-wing is someone who hates their own country. Like in San Francisco, most of them hate America. Or they're anarchists. Or they're globalists. Or they're transnationalists. They hate everything about this country, and they have nothing to replace it with that they know of. And that is because they hate themselves and they hate their lives. So they take it out on the nation itself that lets them get away with it. Right-wing, what's a right-winger? I'm a right-winger. What do I mean I'm a right-winger? Well, I've always expressed my love for my nation. In what form? By my definition of what a nation is: borders, language, culture. I'm also a political realist. So here are the Ten Commandments of liberalism in Scorched Earth, page 117. Man is evil in poisoning the earth. The earth is a living organism and needs to be protected. All white people are racist. All people of color are good. All refugees should be allowed in and given whatever they want. If people make too much money, it should be taken from them. Government handouts have no price tag. Nature should be protected at all costs, unless you don't like your gender. Burning the American flag, yeah, is protected speech. All players on the international stage have equal credibility. And so our brainwashed, drugged youth cast their brainwashed, drugged youth votes. We have immigrants who want things for free who are being legitimized in an illegitimate way. Jerry Brown, for example, has allowed the Department of Motor Vehicles in California to automatically register illegal aliens. So they guarantee not a one-party system, which is what we already have in California, but a no-party system, just an autocrat having a big party. This is the dissolution of democracy itself under the guise of diversity. Diversity is destroying democracy. That, my friends, is page 117 of the best-selling book, Scorched Earth, worth the price of admission for that page alone. Don't you think? Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, most people who listen to talk radio know of a thing called WikiLeaks. They know of a guy named Julian Assange. They know he's in hiding, living in an embassy in London. He has been pulling our string for a while now. He said he was going to give the speech yesterday, doing a document drop that would destroy Hillary Clinton. Then all of a sudden he said he couldn't do it yesterday because of a death threat. He told us it was going to come out of Germany on a satellite hookup. Then today he said he's going to do it later on. So I'm asking you a question. Why did Julian Assange suddenly withdraw his document dump? People have written to me on this, and Michael Peterman says, Dr. Savage, I can't believe you missed this one. The Clintons did not threaten Julian Assange. They promised him to drop charges if she wins. I mean, that's pretty amazing, analytically. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Is that a possibility? Of course it's a possibility. When you look at the other story that was just posted on the Drudge Report, it's shocking. The Justice Department, under Obama, has just dropped charges after years and years and millions of dollars of the government pursuing an arms dealer. They just dropped charges today because the trial threatened to expose the Clinton Libya efforts. This is, you talk about a banana republic. We are below a banana republic. We have no checks and balances. We have no separation of powers. Did you hear what I just said to you? The DOJ under Barack Obama just now, pulled away all the charges against an arms dealer who was threatening to expose the Clintons' connection to smuggling arms from Libya to Syria. His lawyers said the administration destroyed his life. And they were going to run the trial, but it would have cast additional scrutiny on Hillary Clinton's private emails as Secretary of State, and would have exposed reported CIA attempts to arm rebels fighting Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Now, we've heard that story for years, and we've heard it on the grapevine. But government lawyers were facing a Wednesday deadline to produce documents to this man's legal team. The trial was officially set to begin on Election Day. An associate of the arms dealer just today said that the government dropped the case because the proceedings could have embarrassed Clinton and President Obama by calling attention to the reported role of their administration in supplying weapons that fell into the hands of Islamic extremist militants. They went on. They said they don't want this stuff to come out because it will look really bad for Obama and Clinton just before the election. So they dismissed the case today. They dismissed the case after destroying the man's life. They said that he was the bad guy. He was indicted in 2014 on four felony counts, two of arms dealing, two of lying to the State Department. And they accused this man of claiming that the weapons involved were destined for Qatar and the UAE when the arms are actually going to Libya. Meanwhile, his lawyers argued that the shipments were part of a U.S. government-authorized effort to arm Libyan rebels. I realize it's very complicated, but it's almost unheard of that after spending millions and millions of dollars pursuing a case, that on the eve of the deadline, the DOJ would drop charges against a man like this simply to protect a candidate. That's what just happened. This is something that you would expect in South America. So what is this all about? It's what we've been fearing all along, is that the Benghazi debacle didn't have to happen, that Chris Stevens, the ambassador to Libya at the time, was allowed to die. In fact, he was killed by the mob in order to silence him, that Chris Stevens was sent there to Benghazi to oversee the transfer of weapons from Libya to Syria to arm the Islamist rebels. And so, my friends, the chess game gets more and more complicated by the second. We don't know who's the good guy and who the bad guy is. Moreover, we don't know which side our government is on. Moreover, we don't know who really funded ISIS. Moreover, we don't even know if ISIS is not a creation of, let us say, friendly governments. We don't know who's on first. All we know is that Hillary Clinton is deeply enmeshed in this swamp and that she was protected today.